You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Midwest Cannabis Chronicle. Today, we catch you up on the latest news and speak with an expert from the great Midwestern region of America. From the Great Lakes to the Great Plains, including some of the latest states to embrace medical marijuana to the last states to resist it. Join us now to discuss hemp in the heartland with the Midwest Cannabis Chronicle.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Midwest Cannabis Chronicle. I'm Russ Belville, and today we are talking about the state of Michigan. And joining us today, we have Michael Tuffelmeyer from the MI Legalize campaign. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So 2018 is a congressional year election. Michigan has been trying to get some sort of legalization on the ballot, most recently in 2016 when the rest of the states were going. And that came close, but you guys kind of got, I guess, some shenanigans at the state level. Can you tell our listeners, you know, catch them up on what happened in 2016 and where you're going in 2018?
Well, we collected all the signatures last year, but the problem was that halfway through they implemented a 180-day rule, which sort of changed the playing field for us, and it made a lot of those signatures invalid. And so we were hoping that we were going to be able to appeal that because it was changed during our signature gathering period. We weren't able to, and we didn't let it take steam out of us. You know, we said, you know, some battles are harder than others, and we said we're just going to continue on. We know we can do it. We know we have the votes there. Our polling looks good. And so we just regrouped, reorganized, and we've started collecting signatures, and we're set to turn in next week. So we're really happy about that.
All right. So what are we looking at as far as your signature counts right now?
Our signature counts are, I believe, were around 297 last time I looked. I only get updates every 2 weeks on it, but okay. we have more than enough.
Right. Isn't it something like 252,000 you need, something around there?
Yeah. And we're validating them, but we're also going to put in a buffer, obviously, just to make sure we're safe.
And we're safe from the 180-day rule this time. You're collecting them all within a 6-month period?
Yep. Everything that was implemented last year, we are doing this year to make sure that we are, you know, we've checked all the boxes.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned polling, and we see polling all across the nation showing majority support for marijuana legalization, even nationwide among Republicans, although it's an eking out a 51% majority. Still, we'll take it. What are your numbers up there in Michigan?
We're looking at around about 63-64% in favor. So I think that's pretty good for this state. And like you said, you know, I've been very proud that it has been such a bipartisan supported thing in the state. We've people from all walks of life, all different political ideologies have really gotten on board. They want to see this happening. They see it happening in other states. They've seen the positives that have come from it. And we see the negative campaigns that are going against us as mostly being the minority of the state. It's been pretty positive the whole time. Even more positive, I would say, than even last year. I think, you know, more every year things change, and I think people are just coming on board. Our state has road issues. We have school issues. We'd like to see more tax dollars.
And of course, we know that cannabis legalization can help with that. It's been working great in the states that have implemented their systems so far. And Michael, let's get down to some of the details of what you're proposing there, because I believe there's some areas in which Michigan's legalization, should it get on the ballot and pass, would exceed most of the limits in some of the other states. Can you give us some details?
Well, yeah, we're going to make it so that I think the biggest thing we have was we have sort of this microbrew portion of our licensing, which will allow people to be able to sort of just like the microbrews that we enjoy in ready when it comes to alcohol. You know, that's sort of our whole thing with the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. And we have, especially my side of the state on the west side, we're the beer city. So we've seen a lot of microbrews pop up, and we hope that people will see how that works in conjunction with marijuana, that people will be able to not necessarily have to start at the top echelon. You don't have to come out with this major, big corporation for marijuana. You can, you can start small. You can have a few, you have a little taxes and such, and fees will be a little more minor for that. Obviously, that operation will be limited to so much, but it'll allow. What I think the biggest thing for me and why I've supported Michigan Legalized forever is that it's going to allow everybody, no matter what walk of life, if they have some capital to invest, they're going to be able to enter into that market. And I think that's one thing we were very scared of, looking at what happened in Ohio, that, we didn't want to implement something that only, the top few percent in the state would be able to take advantage of. We wanted everybody to take advantage of it, especially even neighborhoods of lower income, which even in my city have been in the marijuana market, whether it's been underground or not. And we want people to be able to be part of it. We don't want to take that from them. We want people to just come in and, you can have a mom and pop shop and it'll work.
So this is the concept of that vertically integrated micro business licensing. You can be the grower, the processor, and the seller at a kind of a low, small customer level.
Yes, I don't know the plant counts for every state. We're also going to allow that people will be able to have personal growth of up to 12 plants.
Obviously, and that would be significant because I'm calling you here from the state of Oregon, where they've limited it to 4 plants per household, and the limits tend to be 4 to 6. But I know Massachusetts made a maximum of 12. Maine's got 12. So you guys going with 12 in Michigan might be, building on a trend here that I hope would continue for other states. How about the personal possession limits when it comes to flower and concentrates?
You'll be able to have up to 15 ounces before you have to do like transport. That won't be personally, you'll only be able to have 2 ounces, but a personal on you, but that basically is still reflective of many of the decriminalized areas in our state that already allow that and are decriminalized. So the good thing is it won't make too much of a change. And people are already sort of used to that at a decriminalized level of not, facing prosecution for having 2 ounces of marijuana on them, obviously.
Right. Now, we're speaking with Michael Tuffelmeyer from the Regulate MI, Regulate Michigan. And you can find them at regulatemi.org. And you also mentioned earlier the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, which is the campaign name that we've heard for, 4, 5, 6 of the states that MPP has been involved with. So are you guys separate groups? Are you groups working together? How does that whole political thing work out?
No, we're working together. When we did it last year, we were just Michigan Legalized. And we're very proud to have MPP come on board this time because, we're stronger together than apart. And we fall under the coalition. So where Michigan Legalized has been coming in is we've been taking care of a lot of the grassroots portion of it, helping collect signatures, getting out there to, everybody on our board represents a certain city in Michigan, that where they have done a lot of work themselves. So we're able to utilize our networks in our cities and help the overall coalition with, education, fundraising, places that necessarily MPP, coming in from a federal level wouldn't necessarily be able to get into the cracks and crevices that we already have existing with us, because all of us have respectfully worked on decriminalization measures and just any kind of policy that has come in our neck of the woods, basically.
Well, that's good to hear. We've told the story before of other states where there's, you know, competing initiatives. And when I heard there was the Regulate Michigan and then there was the campaign to regulate Maryland like alcohol, I'm like, oh no, we're not having that again, are we? But it's good to hear you're all working together up there. One other concern that we have when it comes to the legalization of marijuana is it's always taken place so far. I mean, Ohio failed to do it, but it's always taken place so far in a state that already has medical marijuana. And sometimes the folks in the medical marijuana community are concerned about the changes that will come to their side of the ledger should recreational pass. Are there any sort of regulations or guidelines you guys are working on to help protect the medical patients from having too much change occur in their program?
We just had a bipartisan supported act come through our state, MIFLA, which is the Michigan Medical Marijuana Facilities Act. And we've made sure to tailor our policy so that it won't disrupt those who are already in the business, who are moving, or we tried the best we can to tailor, because we want those who have already been in the industry, we want to embrace it. And I haven't really seen, there's always going to be a few outliners, but I feel that overall our law is not going to make much of a change for those who are already there, who are already doing caregiving and things of that nature. And if anything, they'll just open the door a little bit more, right? It'll just expand on the rights they already have. I don't think that we have anything in there that I could see that would hurt the already medical marijuana industry we have in this state.
Are you confident of the ability of your legislature to implement a recreational program once legalization, should it make the ballot and pass? I mean, we're seeing in the state of Maine where they passed it in 2016 and their governor just vetoed the regulatory package. So they're going to be in limbo to like 2019. What does the legislative landscape look like for Michigan? Should you guys get this passed?
I don't feel that we're going to have that much opposition here. I feel that people know it's coming. Obviously, our state's made some great strides in the last 10 years towards marijuana. And I feel that I don't know for sure. I don't know what everybody's thinking in our house, but I have to believe that we have good lawmakers who see the writing on the wall, who see what the kind of advantage this is going to be for our state. I don't see that much blowback coming from this.
I'm curious because I have followed somewhat what Michigan's been through with the whole dispensaries issue and the edibles issue, where the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act passed and then the legislature went and there's a whole bunch of court battles as to, well, what did it really mean? What's really legal? I'm just hoping you guys don't have to go through that when you go through your recreational program.
Yeah, I hope so. That doesn't happen. I'm hopeful, and maybe that might be a little bit naive, but I think that all of us on Michigan Legalize and that's been a part of this have been lobbying their respected elected officials in their regions. And as far as I know, we haven't had a lot of anti-thoughts on this issue. And I feel that when it does come, I'm sure it might not, at the end of the day, it might not be exactly what we want, but I do believe that we're going to come to a very healthy compromise and that this will just continue to flourish in the state.
All right. Sounds good to me. You've got the polling. It looks like the signatures are going well. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you guys if they want to make donations, get information, or volunteer.
So you can, we're Michigan Legalize. You can, we're at MichiganLegalize.com. You can just go and, we have a PayPal right on there. You can also contact the campaign, and we can, for whatever you want to do, whether you want to give money or you want to help in some way, we have someone who monitors it at a lot. We have we're on Facebook as well, and we're very responsive. So, just find us on a Google search or on Facebook.
All right, Michigan legalized. Give them a look. And one final question for you, Michael. Are you guys still spelling marijuana with an H?
Yes, it's spelled with an H in our law. Yeah.
Okay. But someday down the line, maybe we can change all of it to cannabis. Who knows?
Yeah, as what it was explained to me was just basically, you know, that's what it was in the Michigan medical marijuana. And so they just want to keep precedence on that going through.
Yeah, who knows? You spell it with a J in one and an H in another, and somebody will use that as a loophole to mess up the whole thing. Michael Tuffelmeyer, thank you so much for joining us here on the Midwest Cannabis Chronicle. Good luck with Michigan Legalize, and I encourage everyone to check you out.
All right, thanks so much. Have a great day.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. After 5 years of legal marijuana in Colorado and Washington, both states have shown no increase in teen use of marijuana and decreases in marijuana DUI arrests, while generating tens of thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions in tax revenue. Legalization is no longer theory. It's a proven public policy benefit. Tell your elected officials it's time to end adult marijuana prohibition.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Once again, we have another study that's come out that's shown us what we all know, and that is alcohol is terrible, terrible, terrible when it comes to driving, and marijuana, not so much. Hardly at all, for that matter. And this study is called Cannabis, Alcohol, and Fatal Road Accidents, and it involved some researchers looking at data from France. Between 2001 and 2003, and they analyzed fatal accidents there of 4,059 drivers. They derived blood tests to determine their what substances were in their system, and compares drivers responsible for causing the accident. That is to say, having directly contributed to its occurrence to drivers involved in an accident for which they were not responsible. Okay, so they're comparing at-fault drivers to people in car wrecks who just got wrecked in too, right? It wasn't their fault. So here's what they found. The proportion of persons driving under the influence of alcohol is estimated to be 2.1%. That is to say, you go out on the roads, you got 100 drivers out there on the roads, two of them are driving under the influence of alcohol.
the proportion of persons driving under the influence of cannabis was reported at 3.4%. Yeah, 3.4% more likely to find someone driving under the influence of cannabis. But you got to understand, when they say driving under the influence of cannabis, they mean someone for whom they can detect cannabis in their system. Now, we know that doesn't necessarily mean that they were impaired. As the researchers admit, quote, estimating the degree of intoxication for cannabis and other narcotics is a trickier task than for alcohol. As far as cannabis is concerned, the effects vary rapidly with time. There's a rapid rise in the first 15 minutes after consumption, followed by a fairly rapid decline. However, the active ingredient behind most of the effects of cannabis is THC. They say that metabolites don't really tell us anything. So, what they were looking for the detection thresholds for cannabis metabolites, 50 nanograms in urine, 15 milligrams in saliva is standard in most jurisdictions. But what they did here is they did a look at the drivers. And like I said, they found more drivers are more likely to have pot in their system than alcohol. 2.1% for alcohol, 3.4% for cannabis. But here's what we find when they crunch the numbers. Drivers under the influence of alcohol are 17.8 times more likely to be responsible for a fatal accident, and the proportion of fatal accidents which would be prevented if no drivers ever exceeded the legal limit for alcohol is estimated to be 27.7%. So, got that? Under the influence of alcohol, almost 18 times more likely to cause a wreck. And if we could stop people from driving under the influence of alcohol, we could save over 1 out of 4 people. We could prevent more than 1 out of 4 fatal accidents. 1 out of 4. Now, the researchers also say drivers under the influence of cannabis multiply their risk of being responsible for causing a fatal accident by 1.65 times. 1.65 times. 65% more likely. As compared to the 1,780 times more likely, right? With the, yeah. So there is, according to these researchers, an increased risk that you're going to cause a wreck if you're under the influence of cannabis. You're going to cause it more likely. But the proportion of fatal accidents which would be prevented if no drivers ever drove under the influence of cannabis is estimated to be 4.2%. Okay, so if we stopped all drinking drivers, we could end 1 out of 4 fatal wrecks. If we stopped all stone drivers, we could end 1 out of 25. And yet, when it comes to public policy, all the states that are legalizing, all the states that are considering it, continue to want to push for these policies of per se DUIDs or zero tolerance when it comes to cannabis and driving. And they do not seem to be pursuing any of the same strategies for alcohol. And I just don't understand this. We're in a situation right now where we have a blood alcohol content of 0.08 all across the United States that recognizes that you're too drunk to drive. By having that 0.08, we are accepting that there is a certain amount of impairment that we're cool with. We're fine with it. Like, yeah, you know, judge yourself. Go over to the building where you're allowed to drink and drive your car and park it in the parking lot. Go inside, drink a bunch of booze, and we'll trust you to evaluate yourself as to whether or not you should get behind the wheel and drive yourself home. We trust you, right? Now, with that being our current paradigm, with that being the standard in America, 0.08, we're talking about thousands, tens of thousands of fatal accidents every year. And this study showing that if we eliminated all drinking and driving, we could eliminate 1 out of 4 of those accidents. So where are these prohibitionists when it comes to alcohol and calling for there to be zero tolerance? Why do we have a 0.08? Why not a zero tolerance? Now, I'm not necessarily for that. And I do understand that what I'm getting at here is a little bit of what we now call whataboutism. right? When they say, well, Bush or Trump did this and this and this, they say, oh, well, what about what Clinton did, right? So you could deflect from what Trump did. And our opponents claim that we do that too. What aboutism? But see, here's the thing. When you're talking about Trump or Clinton, you're talking about completely separate scandals or stories. When you're talking about alcohol and marijuana, we're talking about two things in the same subject, public safety, right? Both of these things affect public safety. So it's just, it's endlessly frustrating for those of us in the world of cannabis to have to keep justifying, well, you know, the per se laws won't work and THC isn't measured. It's weird that we have to defend our side and they don't have to defend theirs. It's weird that nobody's attacking 0.08. Nobody's saying that we should have breathalyzer valets, except for me, breathalyzer valets at all parking lots for bars. The problem that I have isn't in we're using this substance or that substance or how dangerous is this one or how dangerous is that one. The problem for me is that we have established in this country a right to get fucked up. We've established it. We've established that we accept culturally and legally a right to get fucked up because we have legal alcohol that's unscheduled, doesn't require a doctor's recommendation. You can buy as much of it as you want. You can drink as much of it as you want. And there are thousands of places you can go in public and drink it with other people. And under our law, we'll accept your fuck upness to 0.07 and still you could be all right to drive. Now, I know they have campaigns, buzz driving is drunk driving and so forth. But believe me, nobody out there at the pub is thinking that. So if we've accepted this as a standard that, hey, we know 88,000 people are going to die. We know we could end one out of four fatal wrecks if we stopped people from drinking, but we're cool with it. Let's go ahead and allow one out of four wrecks to happen because we like to drink. We like to go to bars. We like to go to stadiums and drink a beer or two. Well, if that's what the culture has accepted, then it seems to me that under the principles that this country is founded on, the idea that we don't believe in separate but equal, that we believe we all have equal due process under the law, then it seems to me a bit arbitrary to say that we have a right to fuck up in this, but only with the most dangerous drug. You don't have a right to fuck up in this with that herb coming out of the ground. Especially when we can show scientifically it's not killing us. There's no overdose deaths. It's not addicting us to any real serious, you know, society-ending way. It's not causing us to commit more wrecks out there in the road, at least in proportion to those that we're accepting with alcohol. This is where my opponents, whenever I have a debate, get real flustered. So I'm not here to argue, are teens going to use it? Does it cause more wrecks? Is it going to lead to using heroin? I could give a shit. My argument is based on one simple idea. We as a culture have accepted drinking. If we've accepted that and all the collateral damage from that, it is arbitrary and capricious to deny me the choice of something safer to achieve my fuck upness. So that's all I got to say on that issue for today. And for those of you listening, hey, my apologies, the first half of the show didn't play. 103rd episode, first time I forgot to push that little button. Start streaming. Right there, Russ. Don't forget that button. It's very important. Hey, if you're going to be in Las Vegas, I'll see you at the MJ BizCon. I'm staying at the Circus Circus, and we'll see you around. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You think you're free, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it.